Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. It's the big match preview coming to you live on your Thursday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and we've got a packed studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look ahead to Sunday's home game with Preston North End. Don't forget Sunday, not Saturday, because it's live on Sky as well. The return of Patrick Bauer is a huge television event. Right, joining me in the studio to look ahead to that game against Preston on my right-hand side is Mr. Lewis Catt. Hey, Denu.
Yeah, good mate, you all right?
Yeah, not bad. Had a good week?
Yeah. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Excellent stuff. Is it? It's not your birthday today, is it?
But no, last week.
No, last week. You had a day off work, didn't you? Because
I did have the day off work.
So we found out, we just found out in the studio that Lewis's company gives him the day off work for your birthday. Like he's 4 years old or something.
In class.
Yeah, impressive. Right, also here in the studio is Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, when's your birthday?
New Year's Day, which is a bank holiday. Technically, I always get it.
Yeah,
as well.
Well, there you go. So it would have been against Swansea as well.
Your countrymen. And then they moved it.
They moved it, so that's ruined your birthday. Sorry to hear that.
Especially as I'm in Cardiff for New Year as well.
But at least you got Saturday off.
That's true.
Yeah, you can watch we Saturday morning, World Cup final.
Cheers for that, yep.
Yep, excellent.
Move on.
No, all right. And also, on the left-hand side, furiously flicking through Tinder on his mobile phone, is Mr. Nathan with a hey there, Nathan.
Yeah, I've got repetitive straining order.
Restraining order?
Disorder, right?
Yeah, that's what you'll have that in a few weeks' time, I'm sure.
Repetitive strain disorder. Yeah, I mean, that's the one.
You need to make sure you polish that off before you start talking to him. Yeah,
that's in my bio.
Yeah, excellent stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing good, mate.
I can see that. Yeah, clearly excellent. So on tonight's show, we will gear up for Sunday's home game with Preston. We're also going to hear from Josh Cullen. The midfield maestro got the penalty, rescued a point for us at West Brom last week. We'll hear from him about that game. And we're going to hear from Dave Seddon from the Lancashire Evening Post as he tells us all about Alex Neil's Preston side who are coming down to the Valley on Sunday. I mean, just before we sort of head into a few bits and pieces, Lewis, I mean, you can't really underestimate how important our home games are at the moment. And it's weird, isn't it, how we've just been talking about how we've actually only won two of our last eight games. It doesn't feel like that at all, because obviously the two draws at Fulham and West Brom felt like victories. And we're playing really well at the moment, but maybe just time to just start putting a couple more teams away, you know, like we did against Derby on our last home game, Lewis.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I was really impressed about how we played up in West Brom. And I think we were all going there with a bit of worry with, you know, the injuries and stuff we got in the side at the moment. And to come out of that with a point, and really, I think we could have won that game, was you know, kudos to the team. They were fantastic. And it's another team on Saturday we're going to face, the banging form. You know, they're up there, second in the league at the moment as well. So it's going to be a tough affair. But as you say, last time out, when we brought Derby County down to the Valley, we sort of played them off the park. So I'd like to think we can do the same thing Sunday, especially in front of the TV cameras, because we never seem to do that on TV. But fingers crossed we'll break that this time around.
It's weird how it's the second game in a row, Tom, that we're facing the side at the very top of the goal scoring charts in the Championship, because last week I think Preston and West Brom were both level. Preston got 3 goals against Blackburn last week and West Brom only got 2. So, you know, again, the defence are going to have to be sort of on their mettle on Saturday. I mean, we kept a clean sheet last time out of the Valley, conceded a couple in each of our last two away games, and so that'll be something that Bay will be looking to try and repeat from the Derby game, a clean sheet.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we have conceded goals in a couple of games recently, but on the whole we don't concede a lot. And I think on Sunday's show about how we tend to play better against the teams that come out and play against us, and those teams tend to be the ones at the top. And you look back at the very start of the season when we went on quite a nice little run, and then you looked at where those teams were, and actually a lot of them were down towards the bottom, and you think, okay, maybe that's not that good a gauge of how good we are. But you look at the last six or seven games, the likes of Leeds and Fulham that we've had to play, obviously West Brom and now Preston, they've all been up there. Even Reading were doing well when we played them. So you go even further back. So I think we're at a stage of the season now where we can reflect pretty fairly on how we've performed this season. I think the position is obviously a good one, and I think it probably represents, you know, it's a fair representation of the season so far. So yes, it's going to be another tough game, but as you say, we kept a clean sheet here last time. On the whole, our defence has been very good, although we've let a couple in over the past few games. But I'd be pretty confident that back at home, we'll hopefully have a decent crowd. As I say, off the back of a good win last time we were here, I'd like to think we'll definitely be able to compete. And as I said earlier, and I've said plenty of times this season, I don't think there's anyone in this league that we should be fearing or worried about necessarily, because we've proven we can compete with everyone.
12 o'clock kickoff, is it? 12 o'clock. I mean, that's not ideal, is it? I mean, just not everything, sort of your whole routine's knocked out a little bit, and so that is something that players of both sides are going to have to adjust to, and you have to say fair play to the fans of Preston, who've sold over 1,000 tickets, because, I mean, it's not possible to get here by a train on the morning, so they're all either going to come down the night before or driving down or finding a different way, so it's a good away following from them. But it's just it's one of those kickoff times that I don't like that. I feel it takes a bit of the edge off the game for me.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you've got some people that are morning people, like me, who's awake early, and you've got some people that are slow burners and, you know, takes ages to get ready. And I think you might have some players like that, which might play into the hands of it being on edge. So I don't really like early kickoffs at all, whether it's on a Sunday or a Saturday. But hopefully it doesn't affect the game. But it's just going to football on a Sunday now, and you've got work the next day. It's just nothing more than, even if you win, you know, you're up there and you go, right, let's go home and go to bed and then go out for work on Monday. It's a bit depressing, but hopefully we get a nice
little
birthday
winning. And you work where Lewis
is. Yeah, exactly. He'll have the Monday off, wouldn't he? But yeah, no, it's what it is. Yeah. But I don't really like Sunday games at all.
Excellent. Okay, well, we'll look ahead in more detail to the Preston game. Of course, talk about the return of Patrick Barrett as the pod continues. There's been some good news, actually, earlier on today, just before we came on. It's been revealed that Naby Sarr has been called up to the Senegal squad for the games against Congo and Eswatini, or Swaziland, as they're more commonly known. Lewis, I believe that is Nab's first call-up to the Senegal squad. He's played France youth teams, but obviously, he's found his home in Senegal. His dad was a Senegalese footballer as well, although I don't think ever played for the Senegal national team, but he did play a lot in France. But, I mean, for his performances he's had over this season, bear in mind he's been in and out of the team a little bit, but he's finally been noticed, and it's a great honour for him.
Yeah, it is, and I'm really happy for Naby, to be fair, because, you know, last season he was phenomenal, and he's coming when he's played this year as well, and he has had time in the side. I've been impressed with him again, because sometimes he doesn't quite get the time on the ball that he would have done at League One level in this division, and can look a bit shaky at times. But overall, I think he's sort of held his own in this division so far, and it's a massive testament to him, because he's, you know, we've only got to go back to when he signed and sort of the controversy around it, and the fan reaction overall. Wasn't really a popular figure here, and he spent a bit of time out on loan at Red Star in Paris, and he came back here when we were in League One and sort of started to turn a corner slowly. But last season we really did see a completely different Naby Sarr, and that work's really paying off now, and I think it says a lot about his character as well, where a lot of people would have given up in that instance. You know, if you're a regular person in like day-to-day job and you're getting that sort of grief in an office job or something like that, you'd start looking somewhere else. But he's held his own, he's stuck around, and he's turned his career around there. And I think this call up is sort of the icing on the cake for him as to just how well he's done over the last couple of years.
When you remember how much Naby struggled in the Championship when he first came, Tom, you know, clearly he wasn't a fan's favourite when he was first here. It seems like forever ago now, but he was getting a hell of a lot of stick, as Lewis mentioned there. And then obviously now we're back in the Championship. Do you think he sort of found his feet? I don't know if maybe at the very start of the season there was just a couple of moments where he looked a bit shaky, but I just think as the season's progressed, I mean, I thought he played well at West Bromwich Albion, involved in moves going forward as well, but defensively, you know, considering it was, you know, we had a couple of difficult parts, I thought he did okay there, and he certainly seems a lot more at home now and adapting to the Championship better than he, you know, maybe even at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think, and it's taken him a few games, but I think his style of game is quite tailor-made to the Championship, because it's not quite as frantic, it's not quite as hoofball, although we didn't play a lot of it. A lot of League One can be like that, and actually you do get a bit of time and space, and you do get teams that sit off your back four a bit, and he likes to come forward with the ball. You often see him sort of take two or three touches and then realise, well, no one's coming, I might as well keep going, and strides over the halfway line. So from an attacking sense, from a ball-playing sense, I think Championship is probably his level, and I think he's found that more comfortable in recent weeks. Defensively, I still think there are games where Pierce is going to edge him in terms of that combative nature. You know, there are games where you need someone like that. Bowyer's often talked about him being, you know, his warrior, his leader on the pitch. And there will be other games where I think Naby can come in, and if a team's sitting off, he can spray balls around. We know he loves that crossfield ball out to the right wing. So I think it's nice to have those options. I'm delighted for him to get that call up after everything he's been through, like Lewis said, over the past few years here, because he's not had it easy at all. And I think he's worked very, very hard to get that support of the fans and win the fans over. And he's done that with very good performances. He's obviously a great character around the place as well. And yeah, I'm just really pleased to see him doing well. I still think he's got bits to learn, but as you've both said, he's still a young man and he is still learning his game. So yeah, I think he deserves his call up, and I want to see him obviously keep playing here.
Yeah, obviously, there's a couple of other players who are involved in English football who've been called up to the squad. Obviously, Sadio Mane is probably the most famous one at Liverpool. But there's another name that stood out, which is Famara Deju. Now, we may remember that name because he was the one who got sent off about a week ago for kicking Jason Pearce whilst playing for Bristol City. So do you think Naby Sow will, you know, use this one opportunity he gets to finally represent Senegal to go and boot one of his teammates and get retribution for his skipper?
Yeah, I think so. I mean he's fully recovered. No, he's fully recovered from West Brom, because I know he was a big doubt because of he got poleaxed for the penalty. But you know, I think he's going to take any strike, Nabs. I think the guys have touched on it already. I think that what a lot of people forgot is when he first came in, and I remember a game we were playing at home, and it was against Blackburn, I think, and he was getting bullied left, right and centre. But the difference was, if we're saying he's young now. So imagine when he first signed, five-year contract, what was it, over 2 million, big expectations, he looked nervous, his performance is suffered, and then he became the scapegoat. So it must have been a really tricky time. And I think Tracy Leeburn touched on it, it might have been last season or something now, how nice it is to see that he's sort of progressed as a person, as a player. But I think we're obviously delighted for Nabs. And I think he's going to enjoy it. And if he plays well, which he's done most season, apart from maybe the Blackburn game, he hopefully can stay in there.
How do you see it going then? Senegal versus Congo. Who's your favourites for that?
Well, I mean, Congo, a decent little outfit, good on set pieces. But, yeah, no, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Senegalese.
What about the Swaziland away? Well, I mean, it's a difficult place to go, yeah, Swaziland.
Yeah, but Mr. Swazi up top's got a shot on him, though.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right. we're talking about Famara Deju, the Bristol City player that got sent off for kicking Jason Pearce last week. Now, both clubs have been charged for a breach of the FA rules after that. Apparently, it's alleged that both clubs failed to ensure their players conducted themselves in an orderly fashion in and around the 86th minute of the fixture. So we had until yesterday to respond to that. So we don't know what the outcome is of that yet. But, I mean, you watch that incident back, so what I see is Jason Pearce going for a challenge, he gets fouled, he goes down, he's on the ball, he gets booted up in the air by Naby Sarr's mate, Deju. And all of it, of course, when that happens, Charlton players are going to step in and try and get him off, you know, their own player. It does seem a bit harsh that both sides have been charged there, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, and like you said, I was at the game as well, and it was a little bit ridiculous. He sort of had a couple of swipes, didn't he, that maybe looked like he was trying to kick the ball out from underneath Jason Pearce. But even after the ball had left, he thought he'd have another go at his ribs. And we've got that team at the moment that's a little bit fiery and protective. We've seen it in other instances with Gallagher being booted in the air by Patrick Bamford a couple of weeks ago, and Lockyer running half the length of the pitch to push Bamford over. You know, it shows that we've got a team that are going to fight for each other. But I think for us to be charged for our player being booted in the ribs numerous times is a little bit ridiculous, isn't it, really? It's not. We didn't react. I don't think we reacted any differently to any other side would have done if your skipper's on the floor being kicked by by someone. It's a bit ridiculous. He didn't need to do it in the first place, did he? So I don't really know why we're being charged.
I mean, the West Brom game, we there was something at full time as well. I didn't really get a great view of it, but there was a little bit of pushing and shoving. I think Ben Purrington was involved towards the end, so I wouldn't be shocked if another charge comes out of that, just the way it goes. But I mean, we did touch on it perhaps briefly on Sunday, but I mean, there has been a lot of the players sort of grouping up to surround the referee or to surround other teams when things have got a bit out of hand. Now, obviously, I guess the FA have started to take a bit of a dim view on that. But at the same time, you know, there's nothing more you want to see than the team playing in the image of the manager and looking out for each other and playing as a unit and backing each other up when things get a little bit hairy out there.
I was about to say it's a team in the spirit of the manager and in a good sense as well. And obviously, when he's up on the up in the gantry because he can't be touchline, then the players take responsibility and they think, well, we'll be the ones to have a go at the ref then. So, yeah, it's great to see them all together, that team spirit, that unity. They're not letting any of their mates, you know, get isolated for a second. They're all sort of supporting each other and you can see that. And sometimes that is going to spill over. And clearly, a couple of times, the powers that be have decided that it's gone a bit too far. But as a fan, you love to see it. You know, if one of your players goes down in a heavy challenge, if he's just left there on his own, you think, well, do the rest of the players care about him? What's going on? But the squad we've got at the moment, they're there immediately. They're in the other team's face. They're in the referee's face. They're supporting their mates. And as I say, as a fan, that's what you want to see. And it's, you know, it's no surprise, really, that Boya's created that sort of team spirit. Because as I say, he himself has had a couple of spells already since being our manager on the sidelines as a result. So, yeah, I think it's good to see. Obviously, you don't want them to keep going too far because then the refs are going to start pulling their cards out. But that unity is obviously important.
Yeah, because for all the fines and charges that we've had levied against us so far, we still haven't had a red card yet. Yeah. I think we're doing it in the right way. Certainly, we pick up a few bookings here and there. Darren Pratley's one game away from a ban. He's one card away from a ban. He's on four bookings already, so I'm hoping he doesn't get one. I think there's possibly a couple of others actually on four already.
Yeah, they rotate them though, don't they?
Yeah, so we hope they don't get any on Sunday before the Millwall game coming up. Millwall and Brentford were fined £14,000 each for similar offences, so I just wonder if that will be the case. Anyway, right, we've also had an email in from Jack Burton. He wants a shout out because he's doing a 25k run from Culshaw and Athletic to the Valley in order to try and help assist Lyle Taylor in his Pink October raising money. He's already raised £575 of his £1,000 target. So I'm going to tweet that out now from the Cheltenham Live account as well. So if you want to raise to Jack there, make sure you do so and help assist Lyle Taylor as well on his way to raising money for Cancer Research UK. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Cheltenham Live. When we come back, we're going to hear from Josh Cullen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's shot.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Oh, So welcome back. That man's coming back on Sunday. It's going to be a bit weird, isn't it? So the last time we all saw him was scoring a goal like that for us at Wembley Stadium. Patrick Bowe will be back in the building on Sunday. Make sure you don't miss it. Right, Josh Cullen, midfielder on loan from West Ham. For me, a bit of a surprise penalty taker on Saturday when we drew 2-2 up at the Hawthorns. But you listened to him, he sounded confident, and he was asked about that during the interview we're about to hear. Obviously, on Saturday was the second time in a row that we've been found ourselves trailing to a team with 10 men. And Josh Cullen says it's actually the opposition going down to 10 isn't always the blessing that you might think it is.
Strange thing to say, but sometimes it seems harder to play against 10 men. Whether the team you're playing against up their game a little bit. But yeah, to come to the top of the league, West Brom, a massive club, and get a point away from home is not to be sniffed at. So yeah, we take it and we move on.
Did what happened on Wednesday night give you any bearing as to how to handle and what to do in the at least you had more time to come back into this one?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, we had more time to come back into it, we knew that. Yeah, it was still sort of 15 minutes with stoppage time to go, I think, so we knew we had time to get back into it, which had to stay patient and hopefully a chance will come, and obviously it came at the end, and yeah, we're delighted to get the point.
It must be pleasing for the whole side, because coming away from Wednesday with nothing, to come back and at least get something out of a side that everybody assumes will be there or thereabouts, if not right at the top at the end, must be really pleasing.
Yeah, of course. I think obviously on paper, if you play Derby, Bristol City away and West Brom away in a week, to get 4 points as a newly promoted side is a decent return. I think it says a lot about the group we are that we're still a little bit disappointed with not getting more out of what we've this week, but like I said, every sort of game we play against these sides you'd expect to be up there or thereabouts, playoffs, automatics, and we're matching them, that's growing our confidence, and we're just looking forward to next week now and being back at home, and our home form's going to be key, we know that, so hopefully get 3 points next week.
I mentioned it to Lee Bayer that there are people here that think that we played probably one of the best sides they've played here at the Hawthorns this season, and yet we're still 9 players on the treatment table. Again, from a changing room point of view, you look around, you think, you know, what could we do with an absolutely full squad?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we've got a few injuries at the minute, a few coming back soon, hopefully. So, yeah, that'll give us a boost when them boys come back. But we've got a good squad in there. You've got young lads on the bench who deserve to be there and deserve their place on the bench, and a good player is good enough to come on if we need them. So, yeah, we've got a good squad, and I think that's what obviously the gaffer and Steve Gallen and all the staff would have wanted to build at the start of the season, to know that every sort of team has these periods where you get a few injuries that you could do without, but we're still doing all right, and the lads that are coming in or lads that have got to play a little bit out of position are doing it, and we're still handling okay.
Into the last seconds, and the penalty goes there. No question as to who's taking it. You were the first one to the ball, put it under your arm, and that was it. Job done. So that's something that had been predetermined, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That was something that, yeah, we'd decided, obviously, as a team, when we do our set pieces the day before a game, that yeah, I was first to take the penalties. So, yeah, fortunately, one come along and I could put it away.
Planted into the roof and then no missing. Is that where, I'm not going to, don't give too many games away, but do you actually watch the keepers that you're up against to see which way they go?
I don't know. Obviously, Lyle's normally got that responsibility. I don't know whether he does. I hadn't watched the keeper today where he usually goes. But, yeah, I suppose you go on instinct and you pick your spot. And that was it. That was where I picked today, and it worked okay.
In terms of penalties, generally, there are pressure situations anyway. But almost last minute, to get a point for the side, added pressure, it didn't seem to bother you too much.
No, I mean, it's football, isn't it? They're the moments that you're in the game for. I enjoy sort of being under that little bit of pressure. And yeah, it was nice to, like I said, to be able to put it away and make sure we got what I think we deserved at the least, really, a point today. So, yeah, it was nice.
What's your own performance? And in that midfield, alongside Conor Gallagher and Darren Pratley today, fans are looking and seeing the same Josh Cullen they saw in League One last year. So obviously when you come up a level, people say, can you step up? And I think most people will say that you're doing that no problem at all.
Yeah, like you said, alongside Connor and Pratt, it makes it easier when you're playing with good players, and they're both certainly very good players. So I feel like I've slotted into Championship football nicely. I feel comfortable out there, and I feel like I can perform well at this level. So it's just a lot of hard work on the training pitch every day, and hopefully the rewards will keep showing on the pitch.
It's a midfield that keeps being disjointed, however, with injuries. Phillips, of course, going down. We've had Ostermeyer in today. Is that tough to form a new partnership with other players?
Yeah, but I think, again, talking about the squad, with the injuries we've got players that are more than capable of coming in, and the side will lose no strength. It will just be as strong. And with the squad, when it's fully fit, there's a lot of competition for places, so you have to perform to play, and I think that's a good environment for any team to have, and we've got that, and it shows, like you said, when we do have a little bit of a few injuries, that lads can step in and we can do just as well.
First goal of the season from the penalty spot. Is there a target for Josh Cullen for goals this season?
No, there's not a target. It's not a target, but it's always nice to score, and if I can get on the score sheet a bit more than I have done, then I'll be over the moon. But I just want to keep doing my job for the team. If the goals come, nice, but just keep doing my job and keep performing as well as I can for the team, and that'll be me happy.
There we go, Josh Cullen, the West Ham loanee, speaking to Terry Smith after the 2-2 draw up at the Hawthorns against West Brom the other day. Obviously, players we had last season, when their return was announced, so the likes of Johnny Williams and Josh Cullen, I mean, they were very exciting moments, because, I mean, you got so used to seeing Josh Cullen in that midfield, and you remember how much we missed him, perhaps, when he was out injured, or how much we were desperate for him to come back, especially over Christmas period last year. When he was announced almost out of nothing that he was coming back on loan this season, and that was just a great moment in the summer.
Oh, it was brilliant, yeah. And I think, you know, he was so important for us last year, and he's one of those players that you look at as a loan player that really gets it. And you know, loan players can be guilty of sort of coming in, getting their minutes and going back, but when you get people in like Josh Cullen, you know, like Christian Bielik last year as well, and Johnny Williams, if you want to count him, even though it wasn't really a loan, but he was only on a short-term deal, they come in and really, like, they really give their all, and they really care, and they buy into what the club's about. And especially when you have a manager like Lee Bowyer, who sort of drills it into people, it's sort of like a bit of a match made in heaven, really, isn't it? So it's worked really well for him. He's developed as a player under Lee Bowyer as well, like, fantastically. I mean, even when he came in, I was impressed, but to see how far he's come in a Charlton shirt especially has been really impressive. And he's still young, and he had that responsibility on his shoulders on Saturday to convert that penalty right at the death. And it was one of those games that had been a bit fiery again, and we'd gone down to 10 they'd gone down to 10 men, and we'd fallen behind, and we were thinking it was going to be a repeat of Bristol City last Wednesday. And having all that pressure on for a young man who seems to not only be mature on the pitch, but even when how he comes across in interviews and stuff like that, he just seems like one of those young players that's really got his head screwed on. And I think he's developing really well here, and I hope that we can keep him beyond January. I really do.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, what do you think will happen, Tom, with Josh? So as it stands, his contract's up at the end of the season at West Ham. So, I mean, I haven't heard that. The only thing I've heard is people worrying that it will happen, that he'll be called back. And I could see a situation where maybe they're calling back to sell him, which doesn't make much sense, because surely they see how well he's doing in the Championship and how he's maturing and he's made the step up from last year. You know, he had played a little bit of Championship football before with Bolton Wanderers, but then he played a full season in League One with Bradford, a full season in League One with us. And now he's making that step up again. So he's showing signs of improvement. I mean, surely West Ham will start to think about giving him a new contract. That would be the most logical thing to do.
Yeah, I would expect that.
Or send
that
him to us, give him
yeah
to us for free.
Well, I mean, yeah, if we could get him, obviously that would be amazing. But I think realistically, I'm not sure I can see that happening. But to me, he's a perfect replacement for someone like Mark Noble when he gets to the end of his career. And I know they've got someone like Declan Rice in there, but I think Rice and Cullen could play alongside each other at West Ham. So for me, if they're thinking at all about the future, then that's what they would look to do. And if they did offer him a contract, then you leave him here till the end of the season, because, as you say, year on year on year, he's got more experience and he's improved. And I know he did well at Bradford. I think personally he made a step up when he then came here last year. And I think he's made a step up again this year. He just looks like a very, very good player. And I don't think in a year or so that he'd be unable to play in the Premier League. So for me, West Ham would be silly not to offer him at least another year and just see. But if they don't, then maybe it would be that they would look to sell him, obviously, rather than lose him for nothing in the summer. And that would be my only concern, really. I know we're well stocked in that midfield, but we've already seen now, with injuries creeping up, how difficult it suddenly is to start filling a bench. So, and plus, he's the starter, even when everybody's fit. So, yeah, obviously, I'd like to see him stay for the whole season. And as I say, if West Ham have got anything about them, they'll be offering him a new contract.
Now, going back to what Josh was talking about at the very start of that interview, talking about playing against 10 men, obviously, Nathan, you know a little bit more about coaching and that sort of stuff than the rest of us. I mean, and he says how it sometimes can be more difficult. I mean, is that a fair assumption? Because, I mean, we've seen it in the flesh the last couple of games where the opposition has gone down to 10 and then gone on to score against us. Luckily, West Brom didn't hold on in the end. But, I mean, is that a fair assumption that it can be more difficult? Do they tend to then go more defensively or something like that?
Yeah, because it depends on the game and when the red card happens. So I think if the other team go down to 10 men and you're winning, you've got all the cards, because they're going to have to try and score and you can keep the ball and they've got a press and then you find space in behind. Whereas if you're playing 10 men and they're just going gung-ho, excuse me, and they go gung-ho, they're still, I mean, yeah, they've got one player less, but then they can bomb the fullbacks on. You're still going to be overloaded. So it can be quite tricky. So it all depends on what the game is. And obviously West Brom, you know, they weren't just going to sit there and hold out for the result at the time. But yeah, it can be difficult. But one player is obviously an advantage, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It just means you've got a bit more smart.
It's when it goes down to nine, that's when you really see. I remember a couple of games I've seen teams go down to nine and they just keep the ball and just wait for openings. I remember, well, years and years ago when we played Swindon on Boxing Day and we went down to nine and just watching, we were 1-0 up at the time, but then they were just playing us around, and then obviously we got back into it at the very end.
Is that the set piece with Lera?
When they fell asleep at the end. But yeah, it's...
Because if you have nine, you've got two choices. If you had a back four, you either go 4-4-0, which means you're just going to give them the possession all the time, or you go 4-3-1, and then they're just going to come down the side of you anyway. So... Mm. Yeah, nine's pretty hard. Eight's even worse.
Seven's probably worse than that.
Yeah, well, six, actually.
Six is when it gets called off, doesn't it? Yeah. The only, it is interesting, because, I mean, we're going to talk a bit more about Barron in a minute, but one of his weaknesses was he did love a red card when he was playing for us. So who knows, maybe we'll go down to...
He is a beast.
Go down to 10. He's getting his Tinder lines ready again. Down to 10 on Sunday. Right, let's have a quick break, then we will start to fully... pay attention or start to prepare for the home game with Preston on Sunday. We'll be back here in 30 seconds.
Referee blows. Taylor slowly walks, still now into the penalty area. Lyle Taylor up against the goalkeeper. Taylor steps up, strikes, scores! Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor, and Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Thursday evening, the big match preview, or via the podcast afterwards. If you're not listening live, don't forget to make sure you hit that download, that subscribe button on the Acast app to make sure you get our show downloaded to your phone or device twice a week automatically. Thanks for doing that if you have already done so. Right, let's start to turn our attention to Sunday. Preston sitting second in the table, which I have to admit I was a bit surprised about, because I haven't really taken to looking at the league table too much just yet. Every now and then I have a glance how we're getting on in comparison to the relegation zone, which you'll be pleased to know we're currently 10 points above. yeah, looking good. But yeah, so when I actually started preparing to do the phone call with Dave, who we're about to hear from, I was doing a bit of research. I was surprised to see her that high in the table, sort of on a quiet, and also it's not what you really expect from a Preston North End side who, you know, with all due respect, has sort of been mid-table championship side for the last few years. So I was interested to see how well they're doing. I spoke to Dave Seddon, he's from the Lancashire Evening Post, and Dave agrees it's been a very impressive start for Alex Neil's side.
It has, yeah. Probably maybe a little bit unexpected with how poorly they finished last season. They only won one in the last sort of 7 or 8 last season, but you know, they didn't do a huge amount of transfer business over the summer. But what they did do, you know, has proved quite effective. And now they've had a really good, solid start to the season. It's only a start, but you know, going into November in second place, it's pretty encouraging to say the least.
Yeah, what would you put the difference between this season and last season down to then, if there hasn't been that much transfer business?
But there were times, well, last season, as I say, they ended badly and started badly, but in the middle they had two really good runs. I think they had a sort of 9-game unbeaten run from sort of October through to December, and then from January through to March they had a 12-match unbeaten run. So there was obviously, you know, there was something there last season. It was just the way they started. They had to play catch up, and then at the end they just fell away. Maybe a little bit more experienced. They're a youngish squad. I'm not saying they're a bunch of kids or anything, but you know, a lot of players sort of 23, 24, 25, they tend to sign, and maybe that group's just sort of matured together. You know, they've been together 2 or 3 years now. Alex Neil's in his third season here as manager. Maybe they're just sort of, you know, maturing together, you know, gaining that little bit more experience. Patrick Bauer, of course, who ain't very familiar to you. Yeah. He's come in, he's brought that little bit more experience to the centre of the defence. And I think they've been a bit... He had some bad injuries last season and the season before. It tended to come sort of, you know, 2 years ago. I think they lost about 8 defenders at one point. Last season, they had a spell when they could hardly get a striker or a winger on the pitch because of injury. But this season, well, they are injuries, but not as many and sort of a bit more spaced apart. So, you know, perhaps, you know, all those things combined have just sort of, you know, come together, and you know, they're having a, you know, a stronger season as a result of it.
And what do you think the expectations or the hope, at least, or the aim for a club like Preston are in the Championship? You know, they've been back in the division for, was their 5th season in a row now, so are they starting to think about trying to hit those playoffs again?
They want to get up. They're one of the few clubs in the Championship who haven't played in the Premier League. So the last time North End were in the top flight, Division 1 as it was like, I think, 1961, the year after Tom Finney retired. So there is a desperation, you know, an ambition anyway, to get back into the, you know, to get into the Premier League. If you think of the clubs up here in our area, Blackpool, Blackburn, Wigan, Bolton, they've all had a season. Wigan, you know, they've all had a time in the Premier League. Then, you know, not too far away, you've got Manchester, you know, the Manchester clubs, you've got Liverpool. So, it's sort of, the North West is sort of, you know, Preston is sort of one of the few clubs really around here who haven't been up there. So, they do want to get into the Premier League, you know, you know, if they could get there, even if it's only a season to start with, you know, if you have, you know, handle the finance side of things right, you know, it can leave you in a real, you know, a really good state, you know, to, you know, even if you came down and handle the money right, you can have bounce back and have another go, a bit like Burnley did, and they're reaping the rewards now. But, you know, yeah, this is the 5th season back in the Championship, and they had 2 11th place finishes to start the first 2 seasons up, and Alex Neil's first season, he finished 7th. They're in the playoff running until the, you know, the very last game of the season. They did really well last season. They got as high as 6, I think it was, in March, and then, as I say, tailed off. So they've shown that they can be up at that end of the division. It's just getting over the line, you know, sort of, you know, maybe in the past certain things have, you know, the squad's probably not been quite strong enough, or they've lacked a little bit of experience, but there's certainly an ambition to get into that Premier League. And, you know, with the way things are going at the moment, you know, when you're second in the table at this stage of the season, those expectation levels start going up a little bit, you know, and you know, fans start thinking, you know, could this be our year to challenge? And I certainly think they have got the capability to challenge up there consistently. You know, if you can just sort of, you know, just avoid tailing off like they did last season.
And what about Alex Neil as a manager? Obviously, had success in Scotland. Came down and was at Norwich and now at Preston. I mean, obviously been there for a couple of years now. I guess the fans, I assume they've taken to him over that couple of years.
Oh, indeed, yeah. As you said, he got Hamilton Academical up to the Scottish Premier League when he was there, got Norwich promoted when he went to Carrow Road, and you know, the club suits him, you know, and he suits them, if you know what I mean. North End have got quite a good record of Scottish managers over the years, and you think we've had David Moyes here, Billy Davis, you know, and going back over the years, you know, there's been other Scottish managers and coaches, and I don't know, Neil just seems to, you know, he's one of these managers, I'm sure he'd like some more money to spend, but what he does have to spend, him and the club are quite good at spending it. They know how to get a bargain or two in, know how to spot a player, but get younger players in and work with them. And Neil's very much a sort of tracksuit manager. He's out there on the training pitch. He does all the main part of the tactical coaching himself. He likes to get out there with the players. And I don't know, it just suits him. And, you know, he's a family. He doesn't, you know, with the fans, he doesn't sort of soft soap them. He tells it how it is. Pretty honest. You know, if he gets his team selection wrong, he'll say so. Last week against Blackburn, they were 2-0 down after 11 minutes. We were awful for 45 minutes. Came back to win 3-2, you know, and he sat there in the press conference afterwards, said I got it wrong to start with, you know, changed things around early, got him going, and he did it, you know, and won the game in the end, you know, and there's no trying to hide behind it. And I think like fans like that honesty at times, you know, that they almost lost him to West Brom, probably April, back end of last season, you know, West Brom were heavily linked with him, and you know, there was certainly went beyond speculation that he was trying to get him. As it was, he ended up signing a new contract at North End, and he stayed here. So you know, it showed they've been quite stable in the manager position, really. Simon Grayson was here for more than 4 years before Neil. Neil's now in his third season. I think overall Neil's the 24th longest serving manager in, you know, in English football. So does show that, you know, stability. Two managers in 7 years, you know, it's got them pointing in the right direction. I think there's a spell when we seem to be sacking a manager every year, you know, it just doesn't work. So Neil, I think you know, he's good for the club. He's got him heading in the right direction. He's settled here. His family has settled here. He's a young manager. Doesn't want to be, you know, he's moved extensively already. Moving from Hamilton down to Norwich, then Norwich up here. You know, it's not just 5 minutes down the road, is it? So yeah. I think he's putting down roots here, and hopefully North End can keep hold of him for a few more seasons to come.
Yeah, and of course you mentioned Patrick Bauer there. You also mentioned about how Alex Neil is quite straight talking. I read some of his comments about Bauer's performance in his debut in the opening day defeat at Millwall, and he was a bit scathing, but I'm guessing he's improved since then. And how has he sort of taken to life up at Deepdale?
No, he's done really well. Yeah, to be fair, the first day performance at Millwall is, you know, sort of a bit flat from the whole team, to be honest. I actually, on the day, I thought I gave Bauer my star man or whatever. I thought he was the best of a bad bunch, really. But he's played really well. You know all about him. He's 6'4", commanding presence. What they've done at Preston, they play a flat back four. He's a right-sided centre-half. They've got Ben Davis, who's left-footed, who plays next to him. You've got that nice right-foot, left-footed combination there. Those two have complemented each other really well. And he just fitted in really well. You know, he's one of these players, you know, very little edge to him, no ego. He's popular in the dressing room, and is what North End were needing. You know, they were looking for an experienced defender. Not necessarily, you know, we're not talking about someone who played 600 or 700 games or anything like that, and it's the other side of 30. But just someone who's seen a bit of life, you know, knew how to defend, and, you know, with a decent amount of performances under his belt. And Bowers being that, he's one of only two players now to have, in the North End squad to have started all the Championship games. It's him and Declan Rudd, the goalkeeper, who obviously he was on loan at Cheltenham, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't he? Yeah. So, barely ever present so far. I think he had to come off in one game in August with a bit of a knock, but otherwise, he started every league game anyway, and, you know, I think this is just the one where he's not completed it. So, for Bosman, you know, what great value for money, really, and, you know, it was interesting that I think Blackburn were one of the other clubs who were strongly in for him, and, you know, he had a really good game against them last week, especially in the second half, so... Mm. Yeah, so proved to be a good signing, you know, and we were talking to him this morning at the press conference, and we were talking, you know, with Alex Neil about him as well. And one thing we're all agreed on, when Patrick Bauer comes back to Cheltenham on Sunday, he won't be giddy about it, he won't be trying to put one over or anything, just that professional, he'll just be looking to do a job. Alex Neil said he's quite a humble guy, be, you know, respectful of what Cheltenham did for him, and, you know, he had a good 4 years there, and you know, and talking to Bauer himself, he said, you know, to finish off with a winning goal at Wembley was like, you know, the sort of perfect parting gift, really. So I think he's looking forward to it, but without sort of getting massively carried away about it, if you know what I mean.
There we go. Dave Seddon from the Lancashire Evening Post telling us about Preston North End. I mean, obviously, the first thing we have to talk about is the return of Wembley hero Patrick Bauer. No matter what happens during the game, before the game, Lewis, I imagine that's probably going to be one of the best the best reception that we're going to see from a returning player for years and years and years, because... You know, he was solid over 4 years, and then he wrote his name into Addicts folklore by scoring one of the most important goals of the last 5-6 years.
Oh, definitely, yeah. He's going to get some ovation, isn't he? It's going to be incredible. And is another person that sort of came in at a difficult time and sort of stuck around the whole time as well. You know, he's been through... He came in originally sort of under Luzon and was in that relegation side, and then again had to work under Slade. And he's worked under all these managers while he's been here, and he really sort of... came of age a little bit last season under Bowes, and he'd wore the captain's armband a couple of times, and he was just sort of a regular starter in that area and became a bit of a Mr. Reliable. And I think there was a point where he maybe wasn't the most solid defenders, had a mistake in him, and you saw that sort of coming away from his game towards the end of his time here. And it was really good for him to get that winner at Wembley. I mean, it, again, like we were touching on Naby Sarr earlier as well, but what a story for Patrick Bauer. You know, he's sort of... He's stuck here during some really difficult times, and he's sort of ridden it out. And we thought we probably was going to go last season. He ended up staying here for whatever reason and not going off to, I think it was Blackburn he was linked to, and he didn't bother going. And now he's stuck about, and he scored the winner at Wembley. Yeah. And he's going to be forever sort of cemented into Charlton Athletic history, because we sort of have him to thank for that goal. It was incredible.
Forget, wasn't it? The start of last season when he was linked with Blackburn, I don't think any bids were accepted, which is what happened there. And then, do you remember those tweets that came out from his account saying he wouldn't be renewing his contract? But he did put in a professional job for the rest of the season. You can't ask for much more than that. A player, you know, playing to the best of his ability while he's contracted to the club, and that's what he did. I mean, Mendonca and Asda said on the forum, saying, here's hoping that Patrick Bauer has given the freedom of Greenwich in a presentation before the game, and then to pay us back, Patrick Bauer can score a 94th minute winning own goal towards the end, just to top and tail it quite nicely. Obviously, you know, we're doing the niceties and giving him the respect he deserves, but, you know, come midday Sunday, we need to find his weaknesses. So let's have a look back at, you know, Lewis mentioned at the start of his career, he was prone to the odd mistake. He did tend to iron those out by the end of it. I'm just trying to think, he could get turned on the floor a couple of times. Like I say, was suspect to a couple of red cards. If you beat him for pace, he does try and foul you. So I'm guessing we're going to be looking for those weaknesses. Same as we did with Christian Billick. You know, once the game starts, the niceties are over.
100%. Yeah, I think you're right. Pace, for one. So I think he's going to be wary of Macaulay Bonn. And pressure. You put him under pressure and he can make a mistake, a bit like Naby used to do. And again, he started to iron those out, as we spoke about earlier. But he was a very good player for us. I'm not suddenly going to pick apart all of his game, but there are weaknesses there, because if there wasn't, he'd be playing at the very top of the Premier League. So you're right, he deserves an ovation when he first comes out, and when his name's read out. From then on, I hope he gets sent off. I hope he scores an own goal. I hope he makes mistakes. But if he is still on the pitch and then gets subbed off, then again, just like Bielik, I hope he gets the ovation he deserves. But yeah, as I say, as a centre back, he has got mistakes. He has got weaknesses, and we need to be able to exploit them. And Boya is going to know him better than most. So I'm sure he'll be working on that with our attacking players.
And it's your fellow countryman, of course, Nathan. Are you looking forward to saying hello, saying guten Tag?
Yeah. Nein.
Yeah.
I'm not fluent in German.
Yeah, I've noticed. You're not fluent in English.
I'm not fluent in anything. But, what these guys say, really. Looking forward to it. He's done a job, hasn't he? I think with Pad, he's not really good at with the ball at his feet. So that's one. He also gets quite tight. From what I remember, he always used to go really tight on strikers, and he used to give away a lot of fouls. He's going to, like Tom said, he's going to have his hands full with Maka if he starts. Can't see why not. But
I mean, obviously, he's one of the players that left in the summer, and we had to go about replacing him. And his replacement is Tom Lockyer, a player who's proved very popular so far this season. Mm. If you were put on the spot now
Lockie.
Right, let me ask the question first. Roland came up and said, which player would you like out of the two? I mean, why would you choose Lockyer over Bauer then?
So basically, I remember, what was that game we did, the pre-season, Villa? After that game, there was a lot of people calling Lockyer out, saying he weren't good enough, wasn't there? And I tell you what, he's been brilliant. I think he's a lot better with his feet than Pat. I also think he's very much so more physical.
Yeah, he's more aggressive, isn't he?
Yeah, he's more aggressive. I think Pat will probably win more headers, maybe, but I think Lockie's a lot more, like an old school defender, and he's quite comfortable on the ball as well.
He's got more pace as well, I think. Them last ditch tackles, he's made two or three this season that seem to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Pat, throughout his career, he's been consistent. You know, he's not had many bad games, but for me, I think Lockie just edges it.
Mm. Yeah, like I say, I think he was prone to errors at the start of the season. I mean, to the extent that when he gave away that goal to AFC Wimbledon that Lyle Taylor scored when he was still there a couple of seasons ago, that was sort of an outlier at the time. I was like, well, he hasn't actually done that for a couple of years now, but at the start of his career, he was doing that all the time with us. It did take him a while to settle into English football, but as we heard from Dave, though, he certainly seems to have settled up north now, and obviously we wish him the best, but not for Sunday. I mean, just looking at Preston's away form, as Dave mentioned, they have actually only won once on the road this season at Birmingham, who can be hit and miss. Lost last time out home to Reading, on the road, and they drop a Preston. So, I mean, these aren't the sort of results that will set you alight on away form in the Championship. You expect they're clearly much stronger at home, which is something we're going to have to try and look to take some positivity from.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, judging by their form as well, by that Reading game, it looks like they seem to score a lot of goals. Preston, I think we were looking earlier, they do love a goal.
Who doesn't?
Exactly that, yeah.
Whole reason I come to football,
really. Yeah, exactly. Me too.
I hate goals.
God, people would stop scoring. Disappointing result for them at Reading as well. You know, we've been there ourselves and they didn't really light anything up, did they, Reading? I thought they were pretty poor. And Middlesbrough as well, a defeat there. And again, a team that are really struggling at the wrong end of the table, and they've managed to beat them as well. So I don't know, it's with us, I think I always feel really confident when we're playing at home, regardless of who we're coming up against. And, you know, we said it about a month or so ago when we'd had a couple of defeats away at home to Birmingham and away to Wigan, and then we had that Leeds game, we were all thinking, oh, here we go, is this going to be the moment we get turned over? And we managed to get a win out of that. We said the same thing against Fulham, me, Tom and Afer on the boat, we're thinking this could be the time we get turned over, managed to pull that through as well. And I think it just shows that we're not here just to make up the numbers, we're really holding our own at the moment. And sort of touching on what Nave said about Lockyer as well, another reason I think he's better than Pat is just that he's more of a leader. And I think that the reason that we do so well, especially across the pitch, is that we've got leaders in every position. And that's something that I haven't seen out of many sides in the Championship so far at all. I think that we've got something quite unique in terms of the amount of leaders we do have on a pitch. We only got to look at Pearcey, you've got to look at Lockyer, you've got to look at Darren Prattley, Lyle Taylor. These are all people that you can see as leaders. And I think that that'll play in our favour, and I'd fancy us to beat anybody at home, as I've said numerous times this season. So I'm pretty confident going into Sunday.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, I mean, looking at the Charlton side then, Tom, looking at the team up at West Brom, I don't know where there'd be many changes there, really. I mean, we saw how short the bench was. You know, we had Josh Davison coming on, making his debut. Was he 20-year-old striker on Saturday? So I'm not looking at the bench thinking there's many people who might come into the team. Maybe Deji Oshalaja, and maybe Berham Kyle are the only two I'm looking at. They possibly have got a chance to start. And is there anyone really in that Addicts lineup that you'd want to change? Oztuma played pretty well on Saturday up at West Brom. I'm not sure if, I mean, Solly and Deji seem to be fairly interchangeable at the moment, so there's one possible change. But I mean, how do you think Bayer will play this one? Obviously, we've got to think about that Millwall game the week after, which carries a hell of a lot of importance for us. And I mean, I mentioned Pratt Pratters is on 4 yellow cards, as is Tom Lockyer and Conor Gallagher. So, I mean, we can't do without any of those players against Millwall. But obviously, at some point, they're likely to pick up that suspension. So Bayer is probably, he's not going to be concentrating only on the Millwall game. Yeah. He is going to have to think about Preston as well. So, I mean, where do you think changes may or may not be made ahead of Sunday?
Yeah, I can't see a huge amount. I think, like you said there, he obviously can't just concentrate on the Millwall game, but I wonder whether some of those players, you can almost guarantee someone like Gallagher picking up a yellow card against Millwall. So you think, well, can we risk dropping him and waiting and playing him against Millwall? Obviously, Lecco just couldn't play because of the fact that he'd come from West Brom. So maybe him coming in for Oztuma, possibly. Or if we're going to play two up front in a more standard 4-4-2 with a diamond. Kyle, maybe for Prattley again, just to give Prattley a bit of a break. But no, I can't see a huge amount of changes because, as I say, we haven't got a huge amount of players to pick from. I imagine a couple of the youngsters will come off the bench and Lecco will come back on as a result. But I think it'll be largely the same side because, as I say, I don't think Boya's got really much to choose from.
Yeah, that's a tough one then. So Lecco missing out at West Brom. Obviously, as you said, it was his parent club. I saw him up there after the game, actually, having a bit of a running session on the pitch after. But like I say, I thought Oztuma played quite well last week, Nay. So, I mean, how do you think? Because obviously Lecco's pretty much started every game. There's only been a couple where he's been on the bench. So which way do you think Boya would go? He's clearly a player that Boya likes to throw in as his wild card, as he says.
Yeah, I think he'll probably start with Lecco and not Ozzy. I think with Oztuma and Williams, Williams can play in that 10, but you can also shove him out in more of a wider area where and he can drive at people, where Ozzy isn't really that sort of player. He's the one who, like a better version of Ben Reeves, getting into the pockets. And
it's not hard, is it?
That's why I think if we play the diamond, the 4-4-2, I think it will suit Ozzy. But if we need to adjust and go to a like a wider sort of situation where Lecco will go out on the wider right, I can't really see Oztuma going on that wide left berth. So I think Oztuma might, in my opinion, it wouldn't surprise me if he drops out.
Well, how do we go with it then? Because obviously, like I say, it's a Preston side that's scoring a lot of goals at the moment. So therefore, I'm assuming straight away we'll probably go with that three at the back, which has worked pretty well for us. I mean, I think, did we play against Derby at home? I think we did, didn't we? So we sort of, according to the stats, we did actually give up a fair bit of possession against Derby. We were quite happy to hit them on the counter, and we saw that up at West Brom on Saturday. Whereas I don't know if the possession was quite as bad as the Derby game, but in terms of going forward, a lot of it was counter attacking football that we've become sort of very adept at over the last few weeks. So I mean, my initial thoughts is he probably will go for three at the back, but I guess he has got that ability to change or either before the game or during the game, depending on how he sees fit.
Yeah, and I think I'd agree with you. I think the three at the back would be the best option, and with Solly and Ben Perrington as wing backs, I think that would probably counter them a little bit better. I think they play sort of I think they play like a 4-2-3-1, judging by what I've looked at recently. But we've just got to, you know, it worked so well against Derby, so if we can sort of use that system again and get the same result out of it, it's going to be good. So I'd be interested to see who is going to start up there, sort of alongside McCauley Bond, if anybody, like Nave said there, if he brings Lecco back in. I wasn't overly, not you know, I wasn't unimpressed with Oztuma on Saturday, but I felt that he's quite limited against some sides. I think Preston are quite a physical side that probably would struggle in that game, not just down to his size. I just think he's not that much of a physical player. So it'll be interesting to see how we line up there.
He certainly prefers it when a game's a bit more open, which it probably was in that first half at West Brom. There was space for him to play into. But like I say, I mean, we've seen him in other games here. I was trying to remember. It weren't the Forest game, he looked very good, but there was another game at
home.
Yeah,
that game I was impressed with him.
Yeah, but where he started then, and he was very quiet in that game, so that can be difficult. I mean, the only two people who've played all the minutes so far are Lockyer and Phillips, which I was actually surprised about. But I guess you see that about Boya going into a couple of games ago. We'd made the joint most changes in the Championship as well. So I guess that just shows the limitations of the squad and the fact that he knows he has to try and keep as many people fresh as possible without overloading minutes into anyone as well.
I think that, but also I think it shows the fact that for the first time, probably, possibly under Roland, we've got the opportunity to interchange players, and he's making the most of that. We spoke on Sunday about just how quickly games come, particularly this year being a summer tournament next year and all the international games that they're squeezing in, all of the Wednesdays, all of the Sky fixtures. It seems like with all the games being moved around, there's lots of games coming thick and fast. So his ability to rotate is obviously helping. Obviously with injuries at the moment, he's less able to do so, but I think he's got that opportunity to do it. And again, we've spoken a few times this season about the fact that Boya's got a squad there that can adapt to pretty much anything he throws at them. We've got two or three different formations we can play. We've got three or four players that can play in a number of different positions. So I think it's about Boya working out which formation and which personnel is going to work best against whatever opposition and making sure that he does that accordingly. And as a result, you get the likes of Perrington coming in or Forster-Kaski coming in or Ostuma or Williams swap in or whatever, just to suit whatever formation. We talked earlier about Saar and Pierce being interchangeable, so he's able to make changes where he wants to, but as I say, he's less able to do so at the moment just because of those injuries.
Right, Bob Liscombe did tweet in, trying to get a sing-song starting at the studio. Altogether now, you've got a big... You've got a big friendly German in the other team. Right, let's have some predictions ahead of the game on Sunday. Nath, how you see it going?
If we keep Daniel Johnson quiet, we'll win, but I think it's be Desmond.
Desmond, yep. Archbishop Desmond 2-2 or 3-0?
2-2.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mr. Wallin, Welshy Wallin?
4-1 Charlton.
How do you see the World Cup final going Saturday?
It's tomorrow, the big game, isn't it? Wales, New Zealand, I thought.
Is it tomorrow?
The loser game.
I thought that was the final when no one wants to watch it.
What a horrible way to find out you're not in the final again. Lewis, how do you see it going?
I want to go 2-1 Charlton.
Yeah?
No. Yeah. I'm going to go, Nave said earlier, I'm going to bow a score for them early, but then we'll start nice. Messing about. Conor Gallagher winner.
Not quite as Billy Big Plums as Tom was there, but I'll take 3 points any which way they come. Right, we've run out of time here on the big match preview. Don't forget, I'm going to be here all bloody day on Sunday because we have a show Sunday evening after the Preston game. So make sure you tune in on Sunday evening. Let us know on your way home, basically. Email us after the Preston game. Let us know what you make of the performance. Hopefully, it will be 3 points for the Addicts. Thank you to Lewis, to Tom, and to Nathan for coming in this evening.
Cheers, mate.
I'm Louis Mendes. I hope you have enjoyed listening to the show. Like I say, we'll be back here on Sunday. Look forward to speaking to you again as we find out what happens against Preston. The return of the big friendly German. We'll see you later.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.